Desolation can be beautiful. Anybody who's ever done a road trip through West Texas knows this. And Shallow Water from Houston, on their debut record, There Is a Well, certainly know how to make desolation beautiful. Their combination of 90s-looking grunge, shoegaze, and country music hits a nexus that just screams Texas, but more of the back alleyways, the deserts, the strange lights out in West Texas, all combining together. It's an entrancing and enticing album, and we talked to Shallow Water today on The Woodhouse.
Let's start, I guess, with the band as well. How did all of this form, y'all as a trio, and sort of the origins of the band?
Well, Tristan and I, the bassist, we met a long time ago back in Lubbock. There was a nice little DIY scene out there. There was a really cool house show culture, and met him through that. And you know, he picked up bass. He didn't play anything at the time, but you know, he picked up bass and we started playing together. And we did that for a while, you know, just kind of hobby. And then it wasn't until the pandemic in 2020, and then Ryan, we didn't know him previously, but he moved back to Lubbock where he's from, and we met him, and he was really good at drums, and we were getting better ourselves, and it all just kind of worked out. We became good friends with him, and we started playing, and then eventually we figured there's not much, you know, to be done out in Lubbock, and we wanted to kind of move on with our lives and with music, so we moved out to Houston, and that's where we're at now.
Yeah. I do feel like there's some interesting places around Texas for like little pockets of DIY or house show scenes. I mean, Denton's kind of obvious because of UNT being there, you know, of like all the jazz and, you know, musical studies that go on there. I've heard good things about Corpus. You know, I know there's a lot of folks down in the Valley that are doing interesting things. Do you feel like just because it's such a large state that that's the reason why there are all these kind of DIY scenes that pop up far away from some of the bigger cities?
I think so. And especially, you know, Lubbock is pretty isolated, you know, as far as geography, you know, because it's like a 5-hour drive to the DFW area, and then even farther to anywhere else significant in Texas. You know, Amarillo is a couple hours away, but Amarillo is about the same size as Lubbock. So, you know, I think there's a lot of kids out there that, you know, go to school there or just grow up there that, you know, you have to make it yourself or else there's just nothing happening. And it does kind of die off sometimes because there was a lot of people that graduated and moved off, and then the scene kind of, you know, ebbed and flowed. You know, sometimes there was a lot happening, sometimes it was kind of dead.
Yeah. Have you felt so far like the music and artistic scene in Houston has been pretty accommodating for what y'all are trying to accomplish?
It has been. It was certainly like different for us because, you know, none of us had ever lived in a big city. So there was a whole lot to do, a whole lot going on, but we didn't know really where to start. We didn't have a whole lot of connections. We had a lot of friends here in Houston, but not really any connections to like the local scene to start off with. So it was pretty tough to get a show at first, but eventually like made some relationships with people and got things going. And it has been, there's a lot of good people out here, a lot of great musicians, and it's been really nice to kind of get a foothold here.
Yeah. I wanted to ask on the, you know, on the Bandcamp, it says Dirt Gaze, which I really enjoy as a sort of descriptor, because when I first listened to this, there was definitely a deep feeling of some slowcore, alt country, shoegaze kind of mix. Is that sort of a like a fusion of all of y'all's personal interest in music listening, or was it like this is just the most fun thing to play?
I think it's a little bit of both. I really like country. Tristan really likes a lot of shoegaze and slowcore. He's put me onto a lot of that. And then Ryan really likes, his favorite band is Rush, and we all kind of bring that to the table a little bit, I think. And then also, Tristan and I aren't super professional, musicians. I don't know how to read music. He doesn't know how to read music. And I don't know, we're kind of just making it up as we go along. And it's been a lot of fun to get better, and just we're kind of just doing what we can do, and it's but we're still like trying to push the limits of what we can do. But I don't know, we're not getting too big brain about it or anything. And
I
I don't know,
mean,
I think that's what comes out of it.
yeah, and sort of jumping off of that, I think one of the things that really stuck out to me about the album is quite a few of these songs have very drastic turns in terms of different sections, Birdshot and Snap probably being the two most obvious of going from those pitch harmonics at the beginning of Birdshot to hearing that kind of King of the Hill yell in the background and then going into that instrumental bridge. And I was curious if that's sort of something you set out ahead of time of breaking down songs when you're in practice, or is that kind of naturally progressing out of jamming?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like a lot of it is jamming, but there was one day, I actually remember whenever that happened, I was downstairs and Tristan was just playing on the guitar upstairs. He actually wrote that song on guitar. He had the first part, and then all of a sudden he started messing around with that thing, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And so I had to run up there and be like, hey, remember that? And then we just kind of tried to figure out how to throw that in there. I don't know, I don't really know how to explain it. It always like every song I feel like came about in some sort of a different way.
Yeah, it's just always interesting to listen to those sorts of songs that have it still makes sense as a complete whole, but if you pluck out different sections without context, it's like, oh, is this from a different song? But Birdshot or Snap makes sense as it completed.
Yeah, I think we also threw everything at the wall with some other songs we had, and like it can just get too disjointed to where it's like, oh, we need to rethink this. But I think with those, the movements really like felt cohesive to us, so we liked them.
When do you know you have to call it on something before it becomes too, with apologies to your bandmate, too Russian?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we all like end up getting the vibe after a while if it's not like, if it doesn't feel good. I don't know. We all just kind of eventually come to a consensus, and I don't know. It's kind of mutual.
Yeah, absolutely. You were talking about your, background and love of country music. One of the lyrics that stuck out to me, obviously, is kind of a reference, but it wasn't God if who made Honky Tonk Angels, but if I was him, I think I would. And I thought, especially after Birdshot being a pretty dark tune, that was just such a sweet sentiment to kind of throw into that song. It made it feel very welcoming in a lot of ways. I was wondering about the writing of that lyric as compared to the original lyric, and also just your relationship with country music.
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up in a small rural town, so there was always country music around me. I honestly didn't like it for a long time whenever I was a kid, but that song is one of my favorites ever. The Kitty Wells, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. And actually, when we wrote the instrumental part to Angels, we just had our one of our other buddies at this show. We had him reciting the words to It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, and we just played show like that. I mean, we played that song like that, and you know, it was kind of just a little fun thing to do. It wasn't too serious, but we really liked how it sounded, so we wanted to like actually make a real song out of it, and then we did. And I don't know, still wanted to throw in that you know, where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel like a deeply Texan album. I especially kind of the longer tunes, Lonely Sea, and then I mean it's not as long, but it's just called Laredo. I both of them I feel like driving through Texas landscapes, you know, out in West Texas or driving through the Hill Country. That's a very strong, you know, visual that comes up, even though this is obviously not a visual art form.
Yeah, I think that it really shows through it. I feel the same way. It very much feels like our experience in West Texas, you know, like the dirt gaze thing, you know, like even that was you know, we had in mind like there's haboobs that happen in Lubbock still. You know, it's like the things that happen in the Dust Bowl, you know, the big wall of dust heading your way, and you see it, and it's just like this mountain. And then as it gets closer, like all of a sudden, you feel the cold wind, and your eyes start to burn, and your mouth feels gritty, and then it just takes over everything. And you know, that's not super frequent in Lubbock, but it happens a you know, once or twice a year. And it's really pretty beautiful, but it's filthy. And I don't know, I think that we tried to reflect a lot of that in it. And then also the flat, you know, dry landscape, you know, you can see for miles. And you know, obviously, like other places in Texas aren't like that. Like Laredo, I've been down there, and you know, it's a different climate. And certainly here in Houston, it's a sweaty swamp. But I don't know. I think we just tried to make stuff that sounds like it's from where it's from.
Yeah, I was gonna say you know, growing up near Houston, I've driven near a tornado and I've been down there for enough hurricanes that it is kind of strange to see something like those storms come in, or like the storm you're talking about with the dust storm, of like how beautiful they are despite how dangerous they are.
Yeah. That's it is really beautiful in there, you know. I actually haven't been down here for any hurricanes, you know.
Cannot recommend it.
But yeah, we've been lucky. We've lived here for 2 years now, and I'm lucky enough to not have had to go through one of those. But I don't know. Storms are still like, you know, visually beautiful sometimes, you know, despite the danger.
Yeah, and you know, in a kind of metaphorical sense, I was going to ask about some of the musicianship on the album, you know, kind of guitar wise, not to get into too much gear stuff, but I'm wondering what you're using and how you're getting out some of those sounds from the guitar that do sound like, you know, a storm whipping up, you know, especially Snap or something in that song.
Yeah, on Snap, you know, I have a pretty simple pedal board. I have a Baiyang fuzz. I have a blues driver, and this Behringer vibrato pedal, and that's about all that's on a lot of it. But you know, whenever we went to record it, we you know, especially there at the end where it gets real chaotic, we, you know, did a lot of different takes, you know, like multiple layers of the guitar, and just feedback and all that. And that was a lot of fun. You know, we have a different approach whenever we go live. I think in some ways it's even more chaotic because it's more stripped down and bare bones. But I think both experiences give off the same feelings. I don't know. I try to keep it simple as far as gear goes, and just let it be messy on its own merit.
I like that. Yeah. And I mean, Snap is also the song where I think your vocal performance, you do some falsetto in that tune, really, really getting up into your higher range as well. And I was wondering for this album, like, where did you kind of find your vocal voice for this? Like, trying to convey things through lyrics, sure, but you're also, it feels like you're storytelling also through just your vocal technique as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been able to do a little bit of falsetto. I'm not great at it all the time, but sometimes it feels really good and it feels really right. And honestly, that part, I'd been working on that song for like, that was probably, you know, before it became all together, it was like half a year or so. And I don't know, just I remember whenever I did come up with you know, I wanted to throw the falsetto in there, I was just pretty drunk in my room and messing around with it. So then I then I was like, oh, that's actually really cool. And that, I feel like that's how a lot of our stuff comes together, is just, you know, messing around with something until something clicks and you know that that has to be in there. And then the hard work is really just like coming up with the other things that didn't just click, that bind it together.
I was just going to say, if that applies to lyrics as well, of how important or not important those might be to you, because especially Lonely Sea and Snap, the two longest, or I guess Angels is one of the longest as well, but Lonely Sea and Snap definitely seem to be kind of the darkest songs on this album. And a lot of that comes from these images that are bought. I keep coming back to a vicious dog with child's teeth on Snap. You know, it's it leaves a kind of visceral impression.
You know, some of the songs and some of the parts of songs, you know, I work with Tristan on a lot of these, so it's like both of our ideas of what this song should be about, you know, what it should say. You know, it gets blended between the both of us. And you know, I liked that bit of imagery. I you know, I had vicious dog with child's teeth, you know, just like written down in my notes. I was like, that'd be kind of cool at some point. And I don't know, I think it is a cool, weird image. So that's how some of them get written. And then you know, like on Lonely Sea, that one I wrote whenever I was like 14 years old. And I don't know, it I think it kind of shows. It's you know, a little bit on the nose and a little bit edgy. You know, like look into my soul, it's empty, it's cold. But you know, I don't know, I think that's a representation of how I was feeling at the time. But you know, it's, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of different approaches we take with lyrics. We honestly have a little bit of a difficult time coming up with lyrics. It's always been the last thing done. You know, we drag our feet on it because we don't want to rush it out, you know, and we don't want the song to be built around lyrics. We want, you know, the lyrics to match the instrumentation, because that's usually what we're most excited about. And sometimes it's difficult, but I think we're good at ironing out the kinks.
I mean, that is, I don't know how conscious this is, but it is a curious thing of like, you are the main melodic like center of this, but you switch between the main melodic center being your voice and it being the guitar, and they don't always overlap. And so, you know, I can see why lyrics may come last, because it's like we know what the melody is, we know what the central hook kind of this song is, and if you're not careful with lyrics, sometimes it takes away from that.
Absolutely. And we have had to trim down some lyrics on certain songs and stuff. There was actually like more words to snap back in the day, but then we changed up how we played it. It used to be like a lot faster and had more words, but that was another time where we had to, kind of reel it back in and be like, okay, this is kind of getting a little ridiculous. Let's actually think about how we want to consciously go forward with this. And so we trimmed it down lyrically and slowed it down. And really glad we did that, because I think it's a lot better of a song the way it is now than how we originally had it.
I just had one last question, which was kind of about sequencing, because you closed with the shortest song and it's also the most different instrumentally there as well. It feels like almost like a little hymn, you know, it's kind of this organ in the background. The lyrics themselves feel like they could be out of, you know, a hymnal, something like that. I was wondering how that factored into sequencing the whole album and deciding to close with such a different song.
Yeah, we that was actually recorded while we were still living in Lubbock. I just recorded it on my little recording software I have on my computer, and Ryan, our drummer, he did the organ part on that. He just wrote that, and then I don't know, I thought it'd be fun to write some old-timey sounding lyrics, and it just we recorded it a little bit as a joke, and but it's a joke we're sticking to. I think it's really nice. Honestly, like for me personally, I think that's some of my favorite lyrics I've written. I was really proud of that. But I don't
You
know, it
got to
was really
show
fun.
how committed to the bit you are, right?
Yeah. And I stand by it. So we always had in mind that that was going to go at the end, because obviously, like, it's we don't want to start off the album with that, because then people coming in for the first time will be like, what is this? But it's a nice little treat at the end if you care enough to make it through. And the rest of them, that it was a little bit more of a difficult choice to figure out where the rest of the songs would be placed in the track list, but I'm happy with how it came together and what order we put them in.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I was asking is because I really like the sequencing. It feels like there's kind of a back and forth between more alt country and more shoegazy songs, and also opening with Birdshot is such, there's such a desolate kind of nature to that song that I think really drew me in, and it feels like Snap had to be the penultimate song. I kind of assume y'all close concerts with Snap.
We do, yes, yeah.
I mean, how else you go up to the climax? How do you know, what do you do after that, you know?
Yeah. No, it felt right. Like, I don't know, it's a little bit obvious, so that's how we do it. And yeah. What would you do after that? So
but if I was him, I think.